Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians, Serve in Unity. In this section, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 13, when the world gets into the church. The church of Jesus Christ is like a boat in the water. It's okay for the boat to be in the water, but not for the water to be in the boat. The church is designed to be in the world, but the world is not supposed to be in the church. Too much of the world in the church causes it to be useless for God's work. What do we have to do when the world gets in? Deal with it. That is the purpose of church discipline. The church existed in the city of Corinth. And too much Corinth got into that local body of believers. What was the evidence? Well, sexual immorality was present in the fellowship, and the witness for Jesus Christ was being affected. Just look at this passage with me and notice four observations that I'd like to make from our text. First, notice a Christian acting like a non-believer. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Paul heard the report of a case of sexual immorality. A man was having sexual relations with his stepmother, which was also illegal under Roman law, as is not even named among the Gentiles. It was certainly condemned by Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 20, cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say amen. And yet, the report of the sin was not Paul's biggest problem. He was amazed that the church tolerated it. You are puffed up and have not rather mourned. They did not seem to care. Sin in the church was bad enough. Tolerating it was a much worse issue. Second, notice the call to put the sinning Christian out. Look at verse 3. For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul made a judgment about the situation. Call the church into a meeting, he essentially said. This is the third step of Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. But that's assuming that the first and second step have been carried out. Look at that passage in Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So call the church into a meeting, Paul is telling us in our passage. and then hand the sinning Christian over to Satan. This means to put the person out of worship and fellowship of the church. It's that clear and that simple. Put him out of worship, put him out of fellowship. Why? Why is that? Well, because Satan will wreak havoc in his life. Paul calls it the destruction of the flesh. The Holy Spirit will be grieved and make that person miserable. The sinner will eventually miss fellowship, and mourning of sin and repentance will lead him back. This is where church discipline falls short. Members continue to welcome sinning members as faithful Christians, whereas sincere loss of fellowship will have its effect in a believer. And then third, notice that removing the sinner removes the influence. Verse 6 down to verse 8. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul used an illustration from the Passover observance, the ritual of the head of the home searching throughout the house for any presence of leaven, yeast. Bread without yeast represented being able to prepare and obey the Lord without delay. Yeast required kneading and rising, representing sin which hinders obedience. The purging of leaven was done before the Passover lamb was offered at the temple. Jesus, the Passover lamb, has already been sacrificed. Yet sin was present and tolerated in his church. The call is for all sin to be removed from the church. When any water gets in the boat, it must be removed. And then fourth, notice the distinction of believers and unbelievers. Look at verse 9 down to verse 13. I wrote you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet, I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. You see, Paul was not telling the church to isolate. Not associating with unbelievers means to attempt to leave the world. They're all around us. But we are not to nurture intimacy with unbelievers. That's made clear in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 down to verse 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. James chapter 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You see, some friendships develop naturally because of places we go or work or for other reasons. These acquaintances are divinely appointed for the gospel, not for personal friendships. Yet some do grow because of the acquaintance. However, Scripture strongly commands us not to associate with believers in sin. I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. Listen, this side of glory, the church will never be permanently or completely rid of all immorality. The struggle to be pure is a perpetual reality. Sin within the church must always be taken seriously and be dealt with. The church is to be in the world, but not vice versa. You have a great day.